Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Board of Supervisor meeting. The date is March 28th. The time is 9:01. I'm going to ask everyone to please stand. And we have former Supervisor Bill O'Brien in the house who's going to lead us in the pledge. Then I'm going to ask you to please stay standing. We're going to recognize a moment of silence for Stanislaus County Community Services Agency employee Diane Meredith. And then the invocation will be presented by Pastor Jim Applegate from the Redeemer Church of Modesto.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, would you join me in prayer? Father, we just want to say thank you for a transition into spring. Lord, it's been a great winter with great water and you answering all of our prayers. You remind us how much you love us. And we thank you for the blossoms, Lord, all the things that just speak of new birth and creation and your kindness to us. Thank you for your love for us in this way. Thank you for the men and the women who serve our county faithfully, for our leaders, our public servants, educators, and those who serve in public health. Lord, I thank you for the example of John Walker, and we ask that you bring many more people just like him to serve here in our county. And in that, Lord, please give our staff and our supervisors wisdom as they consider new leadership. We think especially of the challenge of our wonderful chief executive retiring. Lord, we know that you've already been working in the life and the heart of the person who will fill Stan's position, but we pray that you would guide and direct this process, Lord. We pray for the Love Modesto event and many other Love Our City events that are happening in our city during the month of April. And we pray that these would be unifying events, that they would expose us to the real needs in our county. And we pray that these events would not just last one day, but they would be a catalyst for the work and sacrifice that would last a lifetime in our county. Lord, engage our county at this time. Pray for our supervisors as they lead us. We pray that they would know they are loved by you so that all that they do is out of an overflow of that love. Give them wisdom and give them your perspective. Help them to lead us well, even today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Welcome back, Mr. O'Brien. For sure. Okay, we are going to move on to item four, which is a presentation. It's a commendation for Public Health Officer Dr. John Walker upon his retirement, and I'm going to turn it over to CEO Risen.
All right, well, thank you, Chairman. We're pleased this morning to take some time and recognize Dr. John Walker upon his retirement. Dr. Walker has served as our county's public health officer since November of 2000. He's a board-certified physician in internal medicine and in preventive and occupational medicine. Prior to joining the county, his medical career included work for the Department of Defense at Fort McPherson in Georgia, at the 97th General U.S. Army Hospital in Frankfurt, Germany, and at the Tracy Defense Depot. He also taught epidemiology at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, and work locally for national health plans in the area of occupational medicine. Dr. Walker, serving as the county's health officer since 2000, has worked every day to protect and promote the health of all those living in the county of Stanislaus. We've said before that Dr. Walker is perhaps the busiest physician in the county since he has 530,000 patients. His dedication is well known. Based out of our health services agency, Dr. Walker's work has crossed many county departments. He's collaborated with the Office of Emergency Services as essentially the chief medical advisor on serious and emerging issues that could impact the health of our residents. He's worked with Environmental Resources, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, the Sheriff, the Probation Department, the Agricultural Commission, Animal Services, and the list goes on. The Chief Executive Office and the Board of Supervisors members have relied on him for insight on health-related issues impacting our community. He worked with first responder agencies and with schools and with many other community-based organizations. Dr. Walker's style and commitment consistently conveyed his genuine love for people and for all people. I can tell you I've seen that firsthand over the years. Dr. Walker and I had the opportunity to serve meals to the homeless, and he's just a man of tremendous humility, because we get done serving the meals and I turn around and he was donning gloves and cleaning tables and taking out trash, and just a person who genuinely cares about people and about having a servant's heart. And as a result, not only is he a skilled physician, but he's widely recognized and respected for his integrity, his unwavering commitment for the good of the community, and a man that is truly humble and has a servant's heart. So, Dr. Walker, we're pleased to take a few moments to recognize you this morning. I thank you for your friendship and the relationship we've had over the years, and wish you all the best in your retirement. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Mary Ann Lee, who is our director of our Human Services Agency, Health Services Agency.
Thank you. Dr. Walker, will you join me up here? Dr. Walker joined the Health Services Agency when Bev Finley was the Health Services Agency Director, and Bev is here today to help celebrate. In his 16 years with the agency, he worked with four agency directors, with four public health directors. He's been a solid component of this agency during all 16 years. Solid, but not stationary. Dr. Walker sought improvements in community health and to stop the spread of disease. He did this through leadership internally and externally with stakeholders. Dr. Walker was an active participant in the California County Local Health Officer Association, at times championing a committee such as the Environmental Health Committee. One might say that Dr. Walker made the most difference through relationships, through partnering. He's a collaborator, a diplomat. I've heard many comments from other counties marveling at San Jose County's ability to bring stakeholders together. Specifically in the area of public health, both around community health efforts and emergency preparedness, we have been successful at bringing parties together to share, to collaborate, to prepare, and plan. And I attribute much of this success to Dr. Walker. I've often thought, how could anyone say no to him? Smart, but truly, as Dan said, one of the most kind-hearted individuals that I know. He's been instrumental in community health improvement plan efforts, also known as the Framework for a Thriving Stanislaus. Dr. Walker has worked hard to spread the understanding that population health is not about a county department. You certainly recognize this.
Yes.
I've often referred to this slide as the Dr. Walker slide, because he's worked very hard to raise the awareness that population health is really about an active community commitment. I am personally privileged to have known you for over 20 years. I appreciate and respect Dr. Walker's medical intellect, but I'm also so grateful for his gracious and teamwork-oriented style. Dr. Walker, while wholeheartedly committed to improving population health, is also a very committed family man. He and his wife, Roberta, have a loving family. Five children, 12 grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. And I know that he personally lived this his commitment to good health, as both he and his wife participated in many organized runs. And over the years, there have been sightings of him working out in a local gym. True. This I think, kind of sums it up. Dr. Walker was essentially the author, the creator of our agency's vision statement, which is healthy people in a healthy Stanislaus. I want to thank you for being a strong and steady force in our efforts to protect and promote the health of the entire community. And before I turn you over to the board, I wanted to give you a small token of our appreciation from our agency, from the Health Services Agency. So
beautiful.
Thank you.
Check this out.
Dr. Walker? So although Dr. Walker is not a department head, he's an officer, between him and Chief Silva and Mr. Bizarre and Mr. Risen, I am officially taking it personally today. But everyone's retiring on my watch for some reason. But truly, there's a saying that you judge a leader by his followers, and I see Klee here today, Klee Moore, Phoebe Leong, our former HSA director, Bev Finley sitting right there behind him, former supervisor Bill O'Brien came in today for you. I think that's a tremendous statement. I'll let you introduce all of your friends, but I think that's amazing. Mary Ann had said something that I think is important. You practice what you preach. A couple of things. Number one, he doesn't remember, but I knew him from the SOS Club. I'd met him there before I was ever a county supervisor, and I didn't even know his position, but he does work out. He did work out. He doesn't keep this svelte body, you know, by by just eating right. Another thing, about 8 years ago, I remember asking you the question, hey, should I get, who's a better person to ask, should I get a flu shot? And you said, of course you should. Everyone needs to get a flu shot. And so I've gotten my flu shot 8 years in a row, actually. So, anyways, so he's continually practicing with the public, his 540,000 residents now. You have all those patients. You've done tremendous work for us. I've now served, I'm in my ninth year on the Prop 10 Commission with you. I don't know of anyone that's more passionate about children's well-being than yourself. You've forgotten more than I'll ever know. One other saying that I know I've repeated here a couple of times, the single greatest indicator of a child's health at birth is the educational attainment of the mother. And it seems, you know, really funny, but as I go to meetings, I'm always parroting what Dr. Walker has told me. I think Supervisor DeMartini and I were at a Kaiser meeting with electeds, and they have something. And so we're talking about what's important to our community, our obesity rates, other things that are going on. And everything that I'm talking about is just something I've learned from Dr. Walker. It's not an original thought because, well, when you're the public health officer, you have that knowledge. We always do these proclamations, and of course we'll give you a clock here in a second, but there's one thing that sums it up. It says, whereas Dr. Walker has worked tirelessly to promote health for all Stanislaus County residents, including young and old, from all walks of life and ethnicities, and he was recognized for his outstanding commitment in promoting equal rights by the Stanislaus County Equal Rights Commission. I think that says it all. You've been a tremendous leader in this county. You're going to be greatly missed, and we wish you the best in retirement. And I'll give you the clock after you talk, so you don't have to sit there and hold it.
Okay.
Thanks. So I have to start with my bride. 42 years. Bev, I have to tell you a story. I had looked at a health officer position a couple hundred miles south of here. And I came back from the recruitment trip, and I was talking to Roberta about it. And she said, well, I respect your decision, husband, but the grandchildren and I are really going to miss you. So that was the end of that consideration. This has been a great journey. And I am really so grateful to those who have made a difference, including our leadership team. You can see with Klee here and Phoebe here, the loyalty. I would appreciate it if our HSA staff who are here would please stand so I can also recognize our group. Our deputy director, Debbie, Becky, all right, Jim Ferreira, okay, Aaron, you're all wonderful. In conclusion, I want to share that this has been more than a job. This has been a calling. And so I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this great opportunity. Thank you.
You notice he didn't say what he was doing in retirement?
I'll take care of that.
Perfect. A humble, loving, caring man. I love that. All right. Now we're going to move on to our second presentation. Stanislaus County Office of Education, Child and Family Services, 2016 Public Report. Tony Jordan, how are you?
Good morning. Morning, Supervisors. Morning, CEO. Thank you for welcoming me. My name is Tony Jordan. I'm the Executive Director of the Child and Family Service Division at the Stanislaus County Office of Education. I'm honored and excited to be here with you this morning. I'll be sharing some highlights out of the annual report that is being passed around to you right now. It's about a 25-page document, so after I read it to you word for word and test you on it and make sure you memorize it, just kidding. Now I want to walk you through it briefly and then kind of summarize some of our wonderful outcomes that we had this past school year, and I think you'll join with me in being excited about some of the great work. You also have hopefully a lapel pen that'll come around your way. I would ask that during the week of April 23rd, you wear that pin proudly as it is the National Week of the Young Child. And remember the great work that's happening in your county and in your districts on behalf of young and vulnerable children and families. So walking you through the booklet, I'm not going to read it to you, but I'll just highlight a few of the things. You'll see a welcome letter from Superintendent Chignon and myself. You'll see a summary of our mission, vision, and core values, a map of our service area, a summary of the services and lives that we've impacted through our work, a brief description of the variety of the services and lives that we impact, a brief description of the variety of programs that we provide, an overview of the outcomes of these services, a summary of our school readiness plan, description of our support to parents, and a summary of our professional development. You'll also see in there a summary of our budget and expenses from the last program year, and a review of our audit and federal and state program monitoring outcomes. You'll also see couched in there a listing of our partner agencies, and a link to where families and community members can find out more about our great programs and how to enroll. Our mission at Child and Family Services, Stanislaus County Office of Education, is simple. Provide high-quality early education services at the time when the human brain needs it the most, ages 0 to 5, because it matters. I spoke to you towards the end of last calendar year about our local planning council needs assessment. As you might recall, I briefly talked about why these years are so important and the return on investment. So I want to bring that back to the table front and center for you. What we know, based on research, numerous research, is that children 0 to 5 who experience high-quality early education learning opportunities are better prepared for school entry and have a solid foundation for which to build on for third-grade reading proficiency, which we know is a catalyst for how they'll do with their high school and lifelong attainments. That return on investment ranges anywhere, depending on the research you look at, from $7 to $17 per dollar spent on these types of programs. What does that return on investment specifically include? Increased high school graduation rates, increased college attendance, higher lifetime earnings, reduced grade retention and repetition rates, reduced need for special and remedial education, reduced reliance on social welfare programs, and reduced involvement in the criminal justice system. Investing early makes sense. Again, our mission statement is simple. We work tirelessly with our partners throughout the community, throughout our county, and our larger service area that we cover to enhance the quality of life of those we serve. So not to bore you with all those pages, but in totality, we are currently funded through 19 different programs, just under $64 million to provide services. And in a second, I'm going to show you how many lives those dollars touched. A map of our service area. We don't just touch lives in Stanislaus County. One of our largest programs is Head Start for Agricultural Workers, and that's how we capture a bunch of our neighboring counties. Core strategies. The first is educating children. That's our primary function. That's where we have the most impact in the classrooms and with the private child care providers that we partner with, as well as the small in-home, small business owners throughout our communities called family child care homes. So we have a wide network of folks that we partner with to do this great work of early education. Secondly, supporting parents. We know that it has to be a two-generational approach to have quality early education programs. You can't just work with the children. You also have to work with the parents and guardians from where those children come. Lastly, developing professionals. We know that our work is only as good as the work of the folks in those classrooms and in those private in-home and center-based child care providers that we have. So what did last year look like? In terms of educating children, we had the privilege of serving over 8,700 children throughout our communities. These are our most at risk and our youngest children. Nearly 12% of them had a diagnosed disability either when they came to us or by virtue of us giving them the referrals that they needed to get those special education services. 88% of the children in our county that had a Head Start experience, when they left to go to kindergarten, 88% of those scored almost mastered or better on the kindergarten readiness assessment tool. We also did some great work with our public health department, and I was so glad to be here to congratulate Dr. Walker, because he helped forge a lot of these great partnerships that we have with public health. You can see some of the outcomes there. 91% received dental exams and 88% received required medical exams. Again, a two-generation approach to quality early education. Those 8,700 children represented 7,200 families in our service region. Our mission with them is simple, to empower them to be their child's first teacher. And you can see a lot of the ways that we do that there before you. To make all that go round and round, it takes over 1,100 staff throughout those counties. And this last year, we provided over 500 hours of professional development through trainings, workshops, conferences, and network and learning opportunities. We also make these available to the general public at times. And we have a lot of the private and small in-home business owners coming to those trainings that we offer to them. So in total, we impacted the lives of over 17,000 children, families, and early education professionals in our communities. And I was here today to present that information to you so you could join me in that excitement and the great outcomes that we had. I want to thank you for your time, and pending any questions you have, that concludes my presentation.
Years have you had this program?
Our main program, Office of Head Start, launched in 1965. And then the state early education programs came about in the 70s. And Stanislaus County was one of the first organizations to grab hold and see the value in early education, and we've continued that ever since. They've grown over the years through different state and federal expansions.
Do you track the kids all the way through high school?
We're trying to work on that because there is a gap where once they leave us, we know where they ended with that kinder readiness assessment, and we're working with superintendents throughout the county to try to get that tracking mechanism in place.
Okay. I got something from Houston High School, their annual report, and it kind of shows the tracking of the graduation rates and countywide and at Houston High School. And you've seen a spike in graduation rates, I don't know, maybe the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty much low everywhere, and we saw this jump. And it seems whenever I see an anomaly, because it's state, it's county, and it's the actual city of Houston, you think that something changed, because for them all to jump at the same time doesn't seem logical. And having said that, you know, $64 million is a lot of money to have to touch people's lives. And Dr. Walker, if he was here, he would be telling you the same thing, that you know, if you're not reading by the time you're in the third grade, you've got problems.
Right.
So I think it's good, but I would suggest that you continue to track to make sure, you know, this has been our problem in government generally, is that we don't track long enough to see if the dollar is spent the best way.
Mm-hmm.
But notwithstanding this, I've seen this make a difference in people's lives. So any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Supervisors. Appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, so now we're going to move on to public comment period. It's an opportunity to speak on anything that is not on today's posted agenda. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes and state your name for the record. I have one yellow card here, and that's Mr. Vance Kennedy.
I clocked us that's a little less than 5 minutes, I hope.
You're fine.
I'm Vance Kennedy, a retired research hydrologist. I live at 5052 Tully Road and have a small citrus farm there. I believe I am technically qualified to raise questions about the effects of deep wells in the foothills. It is well known that tens of thousands of acres of land in the foothills have been converted to almond orchards, and that the profits from those trees have been measured in at least tens of millions of dollars. But there is no free lunch, and this is an attempt to convince you of the true price. The groundwater there is being depleted at such a tremendous rate that in perhaps 20 to 30 years or less, the water table will have been so depleted that no one can afford to live there. Because of the cost to pump water from great depth, this problem demands widespread recognition, for it exists all along the foothills. One, almond trees need at least 30 inches of water per year to grow. Only about 6 inches of that water is infiltrated rain in the foothills. The remaining 2 feet or more of drip irrigation water is being pumped from groundwater. Obviously, you cannot flood irrigate on sloping land. That groundwater comes from saturated open spaces between the rock grains, which can average about 10%. The water table can drop 20 feet per year or more due to pumping. In the life of an almond orchard, the water table can drop as much as 500 feet, depending on geology and pumping rate. This will eliminate all inhabitants of the foothills, except a few wealthy almond growers within perhaps 15 to 20 years. These ex-inhabitants will have lost hundreds of millions of dollars in property value with no recourse to the law, because California does not legally recognize that groundwater moves laterally underground to the orchard wells from neighbors. This presently ongoing disaster, destroying foothill residents, has not been discussed openly or even recognized by technical persons, as far as I know. It does not greatly affect flood irrigating farmers in the valley. That is a separate subject. If the technical people did consider the problem and mentioned it in public, they would probably lose their jobs. I retired almost 35 years ago and don't have that problem. You supervisors made a terrible mistake when you allowed deep wells in the foothills without an EIR. You should realize that and do everything possible to protect those foothill residents who will be wiped out by the deep wells depletion of their groundwater. Please take time to look at the detailed explanation of my reasoning, a copy of which I have given to your secretary. Up till now, the almond growers in the foothills have been able to prevent the public knowing how much damage they are doing to groundwater availability now long term. Obviously, money and crop politics is the reason. Water is the public resource, and each deep well operator should be required to report annually the amount of water pumped, the elevation of the water table at both their well and in the neighbor's wells affected by their pumping. That way, the public can know the rate of depletion of the water table. The only way that can happen is by widespread education of the general public about this coming disaster, and by politically forcing necessary changes in reporting water use annually in the foothills. Money-controlled politics have prevented release of that information so far. There is no question that the public is entitled to information on the use of its water. Farmers have no right to withhold it. It is imperative that the problem described be addressed immediately. If you question my statement as being biased and incorrect, I urge you to consult that rare, well-qualified hydrologist who is not subject to monetary or political pressure. I would be happy to discuss this certain disaster with you individually. Thank you. 5 minutes?
Just want to thank you, as always. You know, your input through our process, through our ordinance process, which we passed a couple years ago, has always been invaluable, and we continue to look at you as a source for information. So we thank you for all you do for the community.
Thank you.
And then while I have the mic, I'm going to ask, my mom is here today. So my mom, stand up for a second. Sorry. I just want to introduce, I think you've come twice to meetings at two inaugurations. So Dorothy Withrow, thanks for coming today.
Yep. Love having you here. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to move on to the consent calendar. It is all the items marked with it. Oh, yeah, I guess I should have asked. Any more public comment? Nope. On to the consent calendar. All the items on today's agenda are marked with an asterisk. Does any member want to pull any item? Any member of the public want to comment on any item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve all consent calendar items.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Now we're moving on to, we have no schedule matter. Moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters inviting a member of the Board of Supervisors to be a participant on the Election Observer Panel for the Oakdale Irrigation District recall election on Tuesday, April 25th, 2017.
And we're going to designate a board member to be on the panel, and I'm going to ask Supervisor DeMartini if he would like to. It is April 25th, Tuesday, April 25th.
Only if nobody else can make it, because I have a city council meeting in Newman that night.
Okay. Any other member want to do it? If not, I'll do it. So we'll talk afterwards if that's okay. Okay.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding a U.S. Small Business Administration and the U.S. Department of Agriculture disaster declarations for primary and contiguous counties, including Stanislaus County, due to the drought intensity levels.
Refer to the Office of Emergency Services and the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received the 2016-2017 Stanislaus County Civil Grand Jury Report regarding the Stanislaus County Library.
Refer to the Stanislaus County Librarian and the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? None. Legislative, Fiscal, and Management reports. CEO Risen.
No report this morning, but I would like to make an announcement that the Board of Supervisors will be taking a tour of the new Veterans Center, Stanislaus Veterans Center, today following the Board of Supervisors meeting. A rough estimate of time would be about 11 o'clock a.m. at 3500 Coffee Road in Modesto.
Okay. And if there's nothing else for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned. We do have a closed session. See.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a conference with legal counsel this morning to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1. It involves one case, People versus Garrett Sand et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 201-3405. Additionally, there's a conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Tamara Thomas, Jody Hayes, and Brandy Hopkins. The labor organizations are the California Nurses Association, Stanislaus Sworn Deputy Association, County Attorneys Association, Stanislaus Regional Dispatchers Association, Stanislaus County Sheriff's Supervisors Association, Stanislaus County Sheriff's Management Association, and the Stanislaus County Deputy Probation Officers Association. We do not expect to report out on any of these matters, and it would be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments on them before adjourning to closed session.
Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll adjourn to closed session.